It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Lawmakers in our capital are moving Iowa toward joining 34 other states with laws requesting or requiring voters to show some form of identification before casting a ballot. And that is the focus of our hour today. Joining me as we like to team up on Legislative Monday, Joyce Russell, IPR legislative correspondent, with us at the Statehouse Law Library. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, Ben.
Before we want to talk to some lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, other interested parties as well, and we want to invite our listeners to join our conversation as well. 1-866-780-9100 as we talk about this voter ID law. Weigh in with your questions, your comments, your concerns. 1-866-780-9100. Email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. Or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook to leave your comment or question. Joyce, before we go any further, this is House. Well, tell us what's going on, what the proposal is, and what its sort of elements are all about.
Well, this comes primarily from Secretary of State Paul Pate. Probably the most controversial piece of it is the requirement for a voter to show an ID when they go to the polls. I think it's important to point out that it is not a photo ID. That distinguishes it from some other states, although 35 states in all do have some kind of required identification at the polls. This bill would require, if you don't have a government-issued ID, such as a driver's license, passport, a couple of other options, the state will mail you a new voter identification that you can show at the polls. This is about 80,000 Iowans at the moment who are registered to vote, but who do not have the other forms of ID, so that would go out to them in the mail. And then in the future, that ID would go out to all people who register to vote in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. And presumably, because you're reaching out to 80,000 more people, it comes with some costs involved, doesn't it?
It does, and that's one of the controversial parts of the bill. Initial cost would be borne by the Secretary of State's office. In the future, for these additional IDs that are issued that I just described, that cost would be borne by the counties, and that is one reason why the County Auditors Association opposes this bill. They have other reasons to oppose it.
One major criticism of this bill, Joyce, as you well know, is sort of purported or claimed a disenfranchisement of certain voters, the poor voters, certain ethnic minorities as well. Well, let's listen to Paul Pate, the first person to present testimony at the hearing on this, Secretary of State Paul Pate. He promised that no Iowa voters would be disenfranchised.
This bill is about modernizing our elections technology, streamlining the system, and securing integrity by preventing the potential for fraud or human error. It should also be easy to vote and hard to cheat. This bill accomplishes both of those goals, and I want to make that very clear in my short time today. No eligible voter will be denied their right to vote by this legislation. And I'm adamant about that fact and will fight to ensure voters are not disenfranchised.
Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate. Joyce, where is this in the legislative process?
It passed the House last week after a lengthy debate. It is now available for a debate in the Senate.
Okay. What has the debate been like?
Well, it was a very partisan and contentious debate. It lasted about 12 hours in the Iowa House last week. This is House File 516. And for the second time this session, it's a little unusual for the majority party to do what's called setting time certain for the debate to end. They used that on the very contentious collective bargaining debate after 3 days. They set a time certain on this after 12 hours of debate, in effect cutting off debate at that time.
Let's listen to the moment in the hearing when it did that. Since, as you mentioned, since House rules prohibit debate past midnight, they adjourned until Thursday of morning last week, in which time Republican House Leader Chris Hagenell called for what you just mentioned, time certain. This is a rare move, Joyce. It designates a specific deadline for debate on the bill to end. Let's listen to Chris Hagenell actually carrying that out in the Iowa House.
Madam Speaker, I move that a time certain be set for the close of debate and the House act on all amendments filed to House File 516 no later than 11 a.m. on Thursday, March 9th, 2017, and then immediately proceed to closing remarks on House File 516.
You have all heard the motion. Those in favor shall vote aye.
Aye.
Those opposed shall vote no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it, the ayes do have it, and the motion is passed.
Okay, Republican lawmakers, Joyce, they used this time certain maneuver procedure during a debate on collective bargaining rules a couple weeks ago, too, didn't they?
They did, and a few years back when the House passed a collective bargaining bill was the last time that the time certain was used.
Okay. If you've just joined us, we're talking about voter ID law, changes to it, a Republican proposal making its way through the Iowa legislature, including changes to voter registration, absentee voting, eliminating straight ticket voting, also part of this, as I understand it, requiring voters to present some form of ID to participate in an election. Let's invite our lawmakers to join our discussion at the State House Law Library. With us is Representative Ken Reiser of Marion, a Republican. Welcome to our program, Representative Reiser.
Hey, Ben. Happy to be here.
And Tony Bisignano is with us, State Senator Tony Bisignano of Des Moines. Thank you for stepping in.
Thank you, Ben.
Representative Reiser, why do we need this legislation? What are the chief reasons?
There are several, Ben. I think the first one is we need to modernize our election system. You know, we still print out these three-ring binders worth of voter registration logs, and with e-poll books, which 72 of our 99 counties already use, it makes going through that check-in process at the precinct as easy as going through the fast lane at Hy-Vee. They've got laptops and scanners, and you can just show your driver's license or your non-operator ID, and it makes it very easy to verify who you are and to check in. So that's one of the things, is to modernize. It also will increase the integrity of our election system. It's going to make it harder to cheat. There's a requirement that anybody that votes election day for election day registration has to be checked against the felon database. We've got a number of audit requirements which would prevent what we saw in Dallas County, where thousands of votes went uncounted. And then finally, the voter ID requirement would help to ensure that that most important of constitutional rights, which is a conditional one reserved for U.S. citizens and Iowa residents, actually be verified, that the person who's voting is actually who they say they are.
Mm-hmm. The voter fraud you're talking about. What is the evidence of significant voter fraud in Iowa or in the nation, for that matter? In Iowa, let's be specific. Why? What needs to be fixed here? How many cases of convicted voter fraud have been in Iowa in the last few years?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. There were 41 cases of felons voting in the 2016 election, but that doesn't get to the heart of the issue. If you're talking about...
And they voted all fraudulently. They were found to be voting fraudulently, or were they given their right to their vote
they
back
had
again?
Not, they had not had their rights restored. So
41.
That is correct. 41. I think it's a good question, though. If you're asking me, do we have widespread voter fraud in the state of Iowa, I would say no. I think Iowans are honest and hardworking people, and they tend to play by the rules. But the number is not zero, and part of the problem is... there's no reporting, mandatory reporting, to the Secretary of State of election misconduct. So you ask me how much election misconduct there is, it's hard to say because it's not reported. And the second thing is we really do no verification at the polls or of absentee ballots. So if you don't check, it's very hard to know whether or not you have fraud. And then I'd say the last part of this, both the auditors and the League of Women Voters expressed concern that there's a perception that there is fraud occurring. So there's a lack of voter confidence. And the U.S. Supreme Court, when they ruled on the Indiana photo ID bill, said that the state has an inherent interest in ensuring confidence in the integrity of the election system. So That's one of the reasons we're doing this.
Senator Tony Bisignano, you are against this. You've voted against it in, I believe, in the subcommittee, at the subcommittee
yes.
level. Give us your reasons why you don't think this is a wise move to step forward with this.
Well, first of all, I think it's a solution looking for a problem. I think it's a national issue raised by a national Republican right-wing trend. We've had one confirmed case of voter fraud in the last election, and it was a Trump supporter. And when Representative Reiser talks about voter confidence and that people feel that there is fraud, that was perpetuated by Donald Trump. He kept talking about a rigged election and fraud and make people watch their polling places to make sure people weren't multi-voting. And I think he planted the seed, and I think now, because in October, Secretary Pate said that Iowa was a very clean, fraud-free state and got awarded for that, and then shortly after came with the election integrity proposal. So I think this is, this is a non-starter for an issue. It's a waste of money that Iowa doesn't have. And at a time that we're dealing with guns and the Second Amendment by taking less restrictions off of gun purchases and gun use and gun carry, voting is also a constitutional right. And at the same time, we're putting more restrictions and making it more difficult for people to exercise that right than the Second Amendment right.
Representative Reiser, you mentioned the League of Women Voters as a group that was concerned about the perception of voter fraud. The League of Women Voters is one of the most outspoken opponents of this bill.
Yeah, which that's interesting to me for a couple of reasons. The first is a lot of your listeners probably don't know that Iowa already has a photo ID bill, photo ID law. And it was passed 10 years ago when Democrats controlled the governorship, the House, and the Senate. And what that requires is for Election Day registration and voting that somebody show a photo ID. And that's been in law for 10 years. I have it on good authority that at the time nobody said it was racist or discriminatory. The League of Women Voters supported that bill then, as did the ACLU. And in the 10 years since that's been in effect, we've had zero complaints, no court cases, no issues whatsoever. So 10 years ago, it was okay to have a photo ID and not be discriminatory. But for some reason, now that Republicans are bringing this forward, which is actually much less restrictive than photo ID, it's been opposed. The League of Women Voters, they sent a letter to all of us about the election system, and here's what they said. There's a deeply pervasive gut-level intuition that voter impersonation occurs and may be rampant. This has repeatedly been demonstrated to be untrue, but the perception remains. And this gets back to that issue of a perception in a lack of integrity, which is something that I think we need to address. The auditors brought that to our attention when they were talking about absentee voting. And all of them said that is the Achilles heel in our election system because there's no verification of those ballots or that registration at all. And about 40% of Iowans vote that way. And so this bill has a couple of checks there. One is someone would have to put their driver's license, non-operator ID number, or their new voter registration number on the absentee ballot request. And then the ballot itself would have a signature on there, and signature verification would be one of the things that we would do, which is what states like Washington and Oregon, which vote entirely by mail, have as their verification as well.
Representative Reiser, the example that you just gave of requiring a photo ID, that is for same-day voter registration. And I think what your opponents would say is that's a more limited case of needing a photo ID because you're registering right there at the polls, and that it's a different world to require an ID for everyone who comes to the polls.
Well, I think I would counter that by saying if you think it's discriminatory to provide an ID, then that would be the case whether it's just for Election Day registration or overall. When we're talking about all registered voters in the state of Iowa, 95% have a driver's license or a non-operator ID. And We would accept those as well as a military ID, a veteran's ID, or a passport. And Iowans across the state overwhelmingly support this bill. 69% said they would support it, and I think they do so because it's a common sense thing. People are used to showing their IDs when they board a plane, cash a check, buy Sudafed, and indeed get welfare benefits. So I don't think it's an undue burden upon voters. The Supreme Court has shown that it is not an undue burden. I think it's common sense election reform.
Okay, if you just joined us, Ken Reiser. We're talking to Ken Reiser, representative in the Iowa House. Also with us, State Senator Tony Bisignano, a Democrat, obviously in the Senate. And Joyce Russell, IPR's State House correspondent with us. If you'd like to join us, we have some lines open, 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org is our email. I'm Ben Kiefer. And we wanted to thought it'd be interesting to reach out to a neighboring state that has a voter ID law recently enacted. Brandon Smith is joining us now to chip in Indiana's experience in this. State House reporter for Indiana Public Broadcasting, Brandon Smith. Hello.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, we want to make it clear, you started covering the Indiana State Legislature in 2011. The Indiana voter ID law, I understand, was passed in 2005, so you weren't there. But can you give us a brief sense of what that debate was like back then? You're hearing some of our debate going on right now.
Yeah, and it sounds remarkably similar, which shouldn't be, I suppose, all that surprising. I talked with some colleagues who were still here at the State House who were working there back then, and there were a couple of notable things that happened during the debate here in the legislative session in 2005. For one thing, Democrats who were in the slight minority in the House back then actually walked out of session in the middle of the process to, among other things, protest this that voter ID bill, and actually killed 130 pieces of legislation on a deadline day as part of that protest. That led to the Republican governor Mitch Daniels calling them car bombers, which obviously didn't go over well in the state. But it ended up at the end of session with a voter ID law that is very similar to what Iowa is looking at now. And Representative Reiser mentioned that the Supreme Court has okayed voter ID laws. Indiana's actually was one that went to the U.S. Supreme Court and got okayed in, I want to say, 2008.
Mm-hmm. Brandon Smith, in your reporting, I understand you did some work on this, a feature on this issue in the middle of 2016, the middle of last year.
Yeah.
What did you want to find out? What did you find out? Who did you talk with?
Well, it actually started not so much as a look at voter ID, but a look at voter turnout. Indiana's voter turnout has been very, very bad. In fact, in the 2014 statewide election, it was the lowest turnout in the country. And so I wanted to kind of look at why is Indiana's voter turnout so low. And obviously, the first thing that sprang to mind was, well, let's look at the big changes, and the biggest, of course, being voter ID. But as I talked to a number of political scientists and a number of advocates, there was a general sense that they don't like voter ID. They don't think it's necessarily a good thing, but it doesn't seem to have a measurable effect on turnout. And there's limited study of how that actually works here in Indiana, but one was a look at provisional ballots in 2012. Now, provisional ballots are those ones where you go to the polls, you don't have your ID, you can still cast a ballot, and then within a week go to a government office and say, okay, here's my ID, I can vote. Now count my ballot. Less than 0.03% of ballots cast in Indiana that year couldn't be cast because of ID issues and weren't counted. Now, what that doesn't count, though, is people who didn't go to the polls in the first place because they didn't have that ID. And that's a hard number to get to.
Mm-hmm. And again, could you find out anything about the specific groups most affected by turnout due to voter ID? I suppose that would be hard to measure for the reason you just mentioned.
It's hard to measure, though, generally speaking. Again, the political scientists I talked to said it's the folks who are going to have trouble getting to any place, including the polls, for that matter. It's the elderly, it's the poor, and minorities. And they tend to vote Democratic, or at least some of that group does. And he said if there's an impact, it's probably not overall turnout, but it's turnout for one party over another.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brandon Smith. In Indiana, we have a couple minutes before we take a break. State Senator Tony Bisignano, what do you make of Indiana's experience as reported here by Brandon Smith?
Well, I think it's very similar to what we're doing here, and that's why I said in my earlier comment is this is a national movement by a right-wing organization, And this legislation is not being written state to state. You know, it's a template that comes out of, we believe, a group called ELEC, and a number of bills have come from there. And it's all model legislation, and it's a standard agenda. And I believe, you know, when I look at Iowa, five counties, which are the largest counties in Iowa, which are Democratic counties, have 70% of the African Americans. And, you know, no one's going to convince me that they're not targeted counties because they vote Democrat. And so anything they can do, meaning the Republican Party, to reduce the turnout, to make it more difficult, to discourage people from going through the process, that's what they're doing. And as I said before, it's a constitutional right, and they're making it very difficult to exercise that right.
Representative Reiser, do you have an answer for that, a reaction to what the senator just said?
Yeah, well, I get back to what Brandon said, which was in Indiana there's been no measurable impact on voter turnout due to the voter ID bill. And I think in Indiana's case, it's actually a photo ID bill, which is more restrictive than what we have, because under the bill that we just passed in the Iowa House, you can show one of five photo IDs, and if you don't have any of those, then there are four backstops, and one is this new voter registration card, which would be sent out free to those 85,000 people who don't have one of those government-issued IDs. And if you don't have that, then you can do the Election Day registration procedure. You can have an attester at the precinct attest to who you are as long as they show an ID. And then finally, you can do a provisional ballot. So there are lots of built-in backstops so that no one would be turned away. And as far as, you know, you hear this about having an adverse or disparate effect upon minorities, University of Iowa actually did a study of that in 2014, a paper called The Politics of Race and Voter ID Laws in the States.
Quickly,
and
we're coming up on a break, please, Representative. Yep.
You got bottom line is they saw no disparity amongst minority turnout.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment with Representative Ken Reiser, Republican of Marion, State Senator Tony Bisignano, a Democrat of Des Moines, when we come back with IPR's Joyce Russell as well, we'll continue to talk about the Republican proposal making its way through our legislature to make several changes to election administration, including requiring voters to present an ID, not a photo ID, but an ID to participate in the election. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Plenty of callers wanting to weigh in. I promise we will get to as many as possible when we return. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Ben Kiefer with IPR legislative correspondent Joyce Russell. More than 30 states have enacted some version of voter ID law in recent years. We're asking whether Iowa is next, and talking with Representative Ken Reiser, Republican of Marion, who's backing the changes in this bill, House File 516. State Senator Tony Bisignano, a Democrat of Des Moines, with us. He's not in favor of it, joining us as well. You can join our conversation. Email us. For instance, Tom emailed us at rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Modernize the Iowa voting process. Give us a break. We have real issues with voter registration in Iowa and zero problems with voter impersonation. Yet we have our legislature running wild on invented but politically useful issues. That's emailed from Tom. We're going to get to callers in just a moment. Let's also welcome Nathan Blake. He's with us. He's a Latino activist, a representative of LULAC. That is the League of United Latin American Citizens. Also former state Senate candidate, a Democrat. Nathan Blake, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Give us your read on this bill and its facets.
Yeah. So I'm going to echo some of what Senator Bisignano has said, and I'll start with this. We should be focused at the State House, and I think all Iowans should be focused on expanding access to the polls. Voting, of course, is a fundamental constitutional right, and it's been disheartening, I think, over the session to see folks, primarily in the Republican Party, say, you know, we need this new roadblocks, one of which is voter ID, another which is signature verification, which we haven't talked about much yet, but strikes me as particularly silly. But we don't need new roadblocks. Our system is has a lot of integrity. Secretary of State has said so himself. I have personal experience. You mentioned my state Senate campaign. I have personal experience with the amount of integrity in the system. I actually ran against Senator Bisignano and lost a very close election, 18 votes.
In a primary.
In a primary, mm-hmm. 18 votes. It never once crossed my mind that fraud was at stake there.
You mentioned the Secretary of State's office. I do want to mention during this broadcast that no one from the Secretary of State's office was available to join us today. We heard a little clip of Paul Pate, our Secretary of State, earlier in the hour as well. What about these issues that Representative Reiser raised, though, about election misconduct, that we don't know how much election misconduct is because we don't track it very well, and the concern of there are perceptions our voting may not have the integrity we wish it would have. That's
well, again,
out to Nathan Blake. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So again, I'll echo what Senator Bisignano said earlier. One of the reasons there's a perception of this is because right-wing media and now the president is talking, lying about voter fraud being rampant, right? Even since the election, Tony mentioned before the election, leading up to the election, about the election being rigged, which is obviously false, and which Secretary of State called him out on that. But since the election has said, 3 to 4 illegal votes were cast, clearly just lies. And instead of calling him out on those lies, the Republicans are using that and as a justification for new legislation that would make it harder for Iowans to vote when we don't have a problem with voter impersonation fraud. And it's not just that we don't have reporting mechanisms. If we had heard about it, that would get through, right? You heard earlier from Representative Reiser that there have been a couple small instances of voter misconduct. We have the ability in our current existing law to prosecute those types of misconduct. This particular bill is directed at voter identification, voter impersonation fraud, and we have no examples of that happening in Iowa. This is a solution in search of a problem.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to our phone lines. Myrna is with us, joining us, I believe, from Linn County. I see on my screen you're identified as having a connection with the League of Women Voters. Myrna, welcome to our program.
Hi, glad to be here. Yes, I'm the president of the Linn County League of Women Voters and a longtime follower and studier of voter ID. Across the country. I'm calling particularly because my members, unfortunately, I have not been hearing your program because I'm really supposed to be in transit to another meeting, but my members have been calling me telling me that Mr. Reiser said that at some point the League of Women Voters was in favor of voter ID, and I just want to make it very clear that the League has never, ever been in favor of voter ID.
For what reasons, Myrna?
For all the reasons I think you've probably been hearing from everyone else, voter impersonation simply does not happen. Voter ID is very expensive, and the amounts of money that have been talked about that this bill would cost Iowa do not match the amounts of money that have been seen in other states. It's far more expensive than the amount of money that's being talked about here in Iowa. So it's unnecessary, it's expensive. People will be disenfranchised, though most every person who supports this bill has told me they don't even want to talk about that. Part of the reason for the current voter ID bill, part of the reason that I have heard is that if we had voter cards, they could be swiped in our electronic poll books, then could be useful. Well, the fact is you don't need a card to use an electronic poll book. I myself voted in a school board election that used an electronic poll book that used my name. No card is necessary. I think the real problem here is that there really is a misperception that voter impersonation is a problem. And rather than people who know about these things trying to clear up this very erroneous misperception, they're using the misperception to further, a bill that requires voter ID.
Myrna, thanks for calling in. We have many other voices. We're so grateful that you chipped in your perspective. Thank you, Myrna, from Linn County.
Thank you.
And let's give a chance for Representative Reiser to react to that. What about that last point about the perception actually being created, a false perception, not backed up by data? Ken Reiser, why not just clear up the perception? If you have, let's just say a different analogy. If you say there is a perception out there that banks get robbed all the time, when that's not true, you don't increase the anti-theft, the security of the bank. You clear up the perception, don't you?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the bank example, because there aren't a lot of Iowans going out and robbing banks in the state of Iowa. And yet, if you go to a bank and you want to withdraw money from your very own account, you have to show an ID. There aren't a lot of Iowans going to our airports and trying to blow up an airliner. And yet, when you go to board an airplane, you've got to show an ID. So I think the issue here is that there are currently no effective checks on making sure that those who are voting are who they say they are. And 69% of Iowans believe that you should have to show some sort of ID in order to vote. And for those who don't have an ID, the state will give them a free voter identification card, which will have that scan bar, so it'll make it very quick and easy to vote with those e-poll books. And it will have a unique identifiable number there, which will go with that person wherever they may go in the state of Iowa. So this is something that is widely supported. The standard we saw in Indiana, supported by the Supreme Court, shows that there it did not suppress votes in any way, shape, or form. I would disagree with Mr. Blake when he says that it's going to have a negative effect upon minorities. You know, frankly, in the Indiana case, it went before the Supreme Court, and Indiana couldn't show a single person who lost the right to vote because of their photo ID law. And I think the same would be the case here. If you have the capability of filling out those ovals on a ballot, I think you definitely have the capability of showing an ID, getting a free voter identification card in the mail and using that. And then we've got fail safes in case you forget or lose those. So I think this is going to make it easier to vote, harder to cheat, and nobody will be turned away.
Representative Reiser, there's an example out of Pennsylvania that I'm sure you've heard as we talk about the fears or even the expectation that this is going to work against Democrats and for Republicans. Sort of infamous remark, the majority leader of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, he was praising that state's legislative accomplishments that year, including passing a voter ID law. And he was quoted as saying that the voter ID law is going to allow their Republican governor to win the state of Pennsylvania. Certainly giving some credence to the expectation that the real reason for this is to help Republicans at the polls.
Well, I can't speak for what's going on in Pennsylvania, but I can speak for what our intent here is. And our intent is to increase the integrity of our election system and modernize it. I think it's interesting if we think this is all about partisan politics. If you look at that Des Moines Register poll, fully 48% of Democrats actually support. So essentially half of Democrats support voter ID. And then a significant number of independents do, and about 88% of Republicans, which gives you that 69%. So I think looking at that, that would discount any partisan intent behind this. And I can tell you I don't have any partisan intent behind this.
Okay. If you've just joined us, I want to remind you, our listeners, we're listening to conversation about the proposals, Republican proposals, to make several changes in our election administration, including requiring voters to present an ID to participate in an election. Ken Reiser, you've been listening to, a representative, Republican of Marion, backing this move. Democratic Senator, State Senator Tony Bisignano with us as well. Nathan Blake, a Latino activist, representative of LULAC, and, of course, our own Iowa Public Radio legislative correspondent, Joyce Russell. We have so much interest on the phone line. Let's try to get to as many as we can. Charles is joining us from Fairfield. I'll ask you to be concise, Charles, but we sure love having you on the program. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm curious to know if we have the figures on the percentage of people that voted in the previous election, just this last one. I know that generally that usually many fewer than are registered to vote do vote, and I'm just wondering if we know what the figures are for this past election or even the one before.
And if this move will increase it, perhaps, is a good question as well, Charles.
Increase it or decrease it?
Yeah, okay. So
if it's one more hoop they have to go through, would it decrease those who already don't vote?
Certainly have to be. Go ahead, Joyce.
The voter turnout was 72% in the last election of registered voters,
which was
very good.
Which is very good, and it's higher than, say, Indiana, right? I don't think we should be looking to states that have a worse turnout than we do and looking for tips on how to run our elections. And there's been a study, the Government Accountability Office at the United States government did a study after Kansas and Tennessee implemented voter ID and found that an estimated 2 to 3 percentage points effect for the implementation of voter ID on turnout in those elections. And particularly with Latinos, there's been a recent study by the University of California, San Diego, that Latino turnout was 10.3% points lower in states where voter ID is necessary to vote.
We had the comparison with Indiana. Nathan Blake, I believe you've looked at some other states that have had voter ID laws changed recently.
Yeah, I just mentioned two of them, Kansas and Tennessee. Another, a third one is Wisconsin. Wisconsin implemented voter ID before this last election, and voter turnout ended up being at its lowest level in 20 years. Only 27,000 votes ended up separating President Trump and Hillary Clinton, and 300,000 registered voters lacked the strict forms of voter ID that they required up in Wisconsin. So you can see the impact that voter ID has, and it's not what we should be encouraging. This is a fundamental constitutional right. The difference between, you know, buying beer or getting on a plane is that those are not fundamental constitutional rights that undergird our system of democratic governance.
Let's go back to our phones, if we could. Lori has been waiting in North Liberty. Hi, Lori. Running out of time, but we're sure glad to have your perspective. What do you want to chip in?
Well, it's good I had to wait because I was so incensed that once again that perception is being presented as a motivation for evidence to change this when that perception was very carefully crafted. I think there are listeners that would say, what's wrong? Why don't we just do it? What's wrong with having an ID? It's harmless. Mm-hmm. When my elderly mother moved here, we had to get her a photo ID. Her driver's license had lapsed, and to cash a check, she needed a photo ID. We went online and looked at all the different things that the motor vehicle, whatever, required for her to get a non-driver's license. And it was very exhaustive. You know, she was a foster child in New York. We had to try and get a birth certificate, and she didn't have her, she couldn't find, you know, various and sundry things. She didn't have a utility bill yet. And we rounded all these things up. I think there was even something about a divorce certificate or something. And anyhow, we rounded this all up, this armful of papers, and we went to the DMV. And she walked up, and the girl, you know, just took one look at her, and, you know, so sweet little old lady, and she waved her through. And I thought, wow, they didn't even look at that stuff. Mm. And what if she had been, you know, a young strapping black male with, you know what I mean? I realized that girl standing there was what stood between the constitutional rights of my mother. And they could run her through the ringer and make her dot all her I's and cross all her T's, or they could say, oh, we want you to vote, so you go on through, no questions asked. So if this did pass, which I think is a total farce and a waste of time and money, they either have to arbitrarily stick with what documents they would want and not deviate at all, which would eliminate a huge number of people, particularly the LG, I'm thinking, by the time you move all these times, or it's going to fall to the employees, and how do you guarantee that their biases are not going to become a part of the process?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lori, thank you for your story, your experience there in North of Liberty. Let's go to Mitch quickly in Des Moines. Hi, Mitch.
Oh, how you doing? I just want to state earlier last month, on February 3rd, the Iowa State Association of County Auditors leadership voted to register against Iowa Secretary Paul Pate's voter ID bill. And two-thirds of their membership are registered Republicans. And Rhonda Detters, the Association President of Republican County Auditor in Gretchen County, said the group had several serious concerns about the legislation. The association is worried about how the technology upgrades would be implemented through the Secretary of State's revolving loan account. And counties like Polk County, who do not have the e-poll books, like Reitzer indicated earlier, there are 177 precincts within Polk County. And for each precinct to get like two or three poll books, I mean, that would be well over $1 million. So there's a lot of cost, indirect cost, to local counties like Polk County if this bill would be implemented.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mitch, thanks in Des Moines. Yeah. Talk a little bit about the cost, Representative Reiser, and why the counties have to bear this if this is initiated by Iowa legislators. Why is it unfunded?
Well, there are two elements to the cost. The first is the cost of those 85,000 voter registration cards, and the nonpartisan legislative services agency says that will be $150,000 for that one-time cost, which is less than the cost of printing between the House and the Senate in one session. So it's not a lot of money to do that.
Well, do you want to put a dollar figure on that?
Yeah, it's $150,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so the other part of this that I think Mitch was getting to was this bill sets up a revolving loan fund, which would create monies that counties could borrow interest-free in order to purchase those e-poll books. 72 of 99 counties already have e-poll books to some extent, but we still have 600 precincts that don't. So if Mitch is saying that this, putting $750,000 into that account would not be enough to get everybody up on the step with e-poll books, he's right. But 72 counties have managed to get a good start on this already using county funds, and we want to make some state funds available to continue doing that because the auditors have told us these e-poll books are absolutely critical.
Representative Reiser, would you like to respond to the caller's story about her elderly mother and the obstacles of getting registered to vote?
Yeah, it sounded like she was maybe a little frustrated with the person at DOT. And as I was thinking, as she was going through her story, I was thinking if her elderly mother were unable to get that driver's license or non-operator ID, well, then she would be one of the people that would be sent this free voter registration card. And she could use that both for requesting an absentee ballot if she chose not to go to the polls, or she could bring that with her to the polls. So the intent there is to make that as easy as we can for people who are not don't have the mobility to get to the precincts.
Senator Bisignano, you seem to have a response there.
Well, I'm a little bit confused with Representative Reiser's response, because one is he immediately went to the DOT and the situation there. What the woman was talking about was that her mother was in foster care in New York and had to find some form of ID to be able to identify herself, which was difficult. And when you talk about, well, they just mail her a ID, the only people that are going to get mailed an ID is people that are already registered and people that are already voting. And so anybody else is going to be new, and they've got to identify themselves. So she wouldn't qualify, as I understand, with this bill until she was able to produce a photo ID or some other form, birth certificate, that would bring her in line with the identification. So that's just one little example. But you know what? There's thousands of those people that are in that same dilemma, that are in nursing care, that lost their birth certificates and don't have any form of ID, or they're disabled and they never did drive. So, you know, when you just hear one case, you say, oh, well, that's one. No, generally that tells you that, you know, there's thousands of those people. But I also want to get to another point here.
We've run out of time. I'm very sorry. State Senator Tony Bisignano, thank you for being with us, as well as Representative Ken Reiser, Nathan Blake, and Iowa Public Radio's Joyce Russell from the State House Law Library. Thanks. So many things to talk about in a rather complex voter ID law. We'll be watching that. Joyce Russell, we look forward to your reporting on it as well. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon and Emily Woodbury. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tomorrow, we'll listen back to a conversation I had with Winifred Gallagher, author of How the Post Office Created America. Thanks for joining us.